This is the Talk Show America Show.
And welcome one and all to the Talk Show America Show. JR here with you. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We certainly appreciate it very much indeed, folks. It's been a long time since I've done a show. May 5th, I think, was the last show that I did. This is May 26th, folks, a Thursday of 2011. And, of course, that means, folks, that we're still here. So it appears that the rapture did not happen as it was supposed to on May 21st, according to the pastor Harold Camping. folks, I basically said at this point in time that the last time I spoke to you that this was something that would not. That would not happen, would not occur, because we don't know. We don't know the day, folks. Jesus said himself, "Ye shall not know the date. I shall come as a thief in the night." You won't know the day. So it's foolish to listen to these people, spouting off that they know the exact day, the exact time, all this other stuff. It just isn't true, folks. Anyone that knows anything about the scriptures in the Bible will tell you that we do not know the day. The book of Revelations certainly points to some times, signs that we could be in the end times. No doubt about that. I mean, if you read the Bible, it clearly says that. But it doesn't give you a day. It doesn't give you a date. It doesn't give you a time. It merely says these are the signs to look for. These are the things that will start happening. And, of course, we have seen them certainly in our time between the false prophets, a.k.a. Harold Camping, and several others as well, folks. We have seen disasters and wars. That's for certain, folks. The uprising in the Middle East, no doubt about that. I mean, we've seen all this coming. The church falls in a bad light. All of this, are signs of that we're coming to the end times. But nothing in any of that gives us an exact date and time that this is going to happen. So beware of people who espouse these things, because the bottom line is it doesn't mean because they're saying this that it's true, that it's so. As a matter of fact, quite the opposite, folks. They are the false prophets. Be very careful of that. For those of you who are Christians and believe, be very careful indeed. But anyway, we are still here. We're all still here. There's only two explanations for it, folks. Either the rapture didn't happen, which is the real explanation, folks, or the people that were taken up, the good people that were taken up, are already gone. We just don't know it for whatever reason. Maybe there wasn't too many of them. I don't know. It just didn't happen, folks, and that's the bottom line. That's the answer. But that no one knows the day, folks. So when you hear this again, don't take stock in it. What my amazement was how much attention the mainstream news media gave this, and there's a reason for this. I'm going to dovetail this into a story. There's a reason for this, folks. In my opinion, the mainstream news media did this because they were looking to discredit Christians, as simple as that. And they don't care how they do it or whatever. They're going to take one guy who makes some claim who's not right, and it wasn't going to be right. I mean, it's as simple as that. And they're going to point to that and try to make the Christians out to be fringe, kooks, nuts, tinfoil hats. This is what they're trying to do. They're trying to discredit Christians in this country. And because the Christian right folks in this country is a powerful lobby right now, powerful, many of them are Tea Party members, and many of them are Republicans and conservatives. This is what they're trying to do. They're trying to label the Christians with this. This is what they tried to do with the Camping deal, is if they discredit him enough, people are going to turn around and say, "Hey, this guy's a nut. They must all be nuts. Look, it never happened." You know, so therefore, they're all kooks, they're all fringes. Who's going to listen to them? Exactly, I'm telling you, this is exactly what the mainstream news media wanted to do. This is exactly why there was so much attention paid to this situation. You know, because the mainstream news media wanted to use it to their advantage, no doubt about it. Now, of course, camping's not done, folks. you know, he's not done. He has now insisted that, you know, that the actual day, folks, is going to be October 21st. What he had said was that May 21st would be the rapture, people would be taken up, and those left behind would face months of tribulation before perishing in the earth's final destruction. Which now Camping says will happen on October 1st. And then his excuse here, folks, was that according to him, God, folks, didn't want us to go through 5 months of suffering. So basically he changed his mind and decided to change it to October 21st. This is just ridiculous, folks. It really is. Again, you won't know the day. Now, it's true, if you, you know, those of you who are Christians know this, that the day of tribulation comes and Jesus takes the believers into heaven with him, and those left on the earth will be left to face what's coming in the, you know, in the final battle of Armageddon. And it's not going to be a you know, a fun time. There's no doubt about that. If you know, in the book of Revelations, it spells this out. But there's no date and time that this is going to happen. And the you know, after you know the tribulation, it's years, folks, not months, before the earth's so-called final destruction, if you can call it destruction, because most. You know, most of the Bible, the book of Revelations, most interpretations say it's not going to be destruction, but there'll be 1,000 years of peace. So after it's you know, the battle between good and evil is finally over with. So go from there. Anyway, my point was to point out here was, first of all, don't listen to this man. He's a false prophet. He is. You know, I mean, no one can tell you the day that the world's going to end. It's just not going to happen. They can't tell you because they don't know. God himself said no one would know the day. he'd come as a thief in the night. So it's as simple as that. And then, like I said, this guy goes along now. Now he gives you another date. Now, of course, we know this is not the first time that he has predicted the end of the world either. He did so in 1994 as well. It didn't happen either. Because it's not going to, folks, until Jesus decides, you know, when this tribulation is going to happen. And again, you know, we're not supposed to know. So it's simple. So be very careful in listening to people like this. And to Christians, I tell you this. I can't tell you what to do. It's certainly up to you. You know, it's your life, folks. But the bottom line is, you can't follow people like this, and you can't, you know, you can't, like a cult. You know, I mean, we remember Hale Bopp and all these, you know, the Jonestown deals and everything. All these people killing themselves, because they listened to some kook. You know, and I mean, and the bottom line is, that's exactly what was happening here. These people were spending all kinds of money, you know, going around the country, you know, and advertisements, people going around, people quitting their jobs and following this man, only to find out that none of this was actually ever going to happen. It's sad. It is. And, you know, so, you know, trust in the Bible, folks. Trust in the word of Jesus. But, you know, be careful of the false prophets, because these are the people that will lead you astray. This man certainly did that here. But he's not done. He now says, well, it's going to be October 21st. And the problem, the sad part about this is there will be people who will follow this guy, even though he's been wrong twice already. There will be people who will follow this guy and say, oh, well, you know, I mean, I suppose if you know, through a mathematical process of elimination, someday he may be right. I mean, just because it just happens to be on the day that he picks out of the air. Just very, very, be very careful, folks. You know, the false prophets are out there as predicted by, well, as written in the Bible, no doubt about it. You know, follow at your own peril, folks. Just a word to the wise, you know, in regards to that. As I said, I can't tell you how to live your life. That's certainly up to you. But, you know, this man, he was a false prophet. There's no doubt about it. And again, as I said, the left used him and the mainstream news media used him to cast a shadow on to Christians. So that when we start talking about the Christians, you know, the pro-life, anti-abortion, pro-marriage, anti-gay marriage, you know, Christians, you know, they'll get labeled as kooks and tinfoil hat crowd because of this guy. And all the attention that the media gave him. Now, there's been people before that have done this, folks, as well, but there's never, I have never seen, at least in my lifetime anyway, the attention that was given to this type of thing as was given to Mr. Camping during this time in our history. And as I said, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that the mainstream news media wanted to use this event as a way to discredit Christians, so that when Christians start talking about pro-life, you know, pro-marriage, anti-gay marriage, you know, when they start talking about these things, you know, that people are going to try to pass them off as nuts, kooks. You shouldn't listen to them. They don't know what they're talking about. You know, it even gives fodder to people who say there is no God, there is no Jesus, you know, that there is no supreme being. It gives fodder to those people, too, to say, see, nothing happened, it's not going to happen, you know, because it's not going to. You know, folks, I mean, us Christians, we know that it's not going to happen because Jesus did not decide it's when it's time to happen. It's up to him, and it's only him. No man is going to tell us when the Lord's going to return. He told us himself that we will not know the day. He shall come as a thief in the night when we don't know, when we least expect it. Absolutely. And that's, I mean, it's just the way it is, folks. So be careful, because now he's, like I said, he's predicting the 21st of October now is the day. And I guess that God has decided that, well, he wanted to give us, spare us all the months of turmoil and disaster. Although, obviously, if we look in the Midwest, it doesn't look like we got spared much, that's for sure. God bless those people, and hopefully they make it through this crisis. Our thoughts and prayers go out to the families who have lost loved ones, and their lives have been turned over. Just amazing indeed. But it shows you how precious life is, folks, and how at the snap of a finger it can all be gone. I just read a story that they finally found a missing toddler from one of those tornadoes. A toddler was missing. Obviously the toddler is not alive. It's sad. It is. It's sad that a little 3-year-old is whisked off and killed in a massive destruction of a weather event, and us powerless to do anything about it. But it is what it is, folks, and it's sad indeed. I mean, these weather events, certainly something that we have to be mindful of as we're going along in life. That's how fragile life is. One minute everything's fine, the next minute it's not. We just don't know. Okay. Let's go on a little bit here, folks. When it comes to doomsday, though, because the left has been laughing at this, you know it, and I told you, this is exactly what they wanted. They wanted to be able to pick this. They knew it wasn't going to happen, just like we knew it wasn't going to happen. They wanted to take this event and laugh at the Christians. But they really don't have a lot of room to laugh, folks. Even if they're atheists and don't believe in God, there's not a lot of room for the left to laugh. We know that... we know that there's been plenty of predictions by the left, especially in regards to the global warming. The global warming subject. We've seen a lot of doomsday scenarios brought before us that were going to happen that never happened. And I did a show a couple of years ago, I believe it was in 2008. I was trying to find the archives. I'm still looking because I want to be able to play clips from that at a future broadcast of just naming the things that people have said over the number of years that would happen. Entire islands disappearing, continents disappearing, things of this nature. Entire sea coasts gone, entire states flooded. That just did not happen, folks. This is, by the left. the most obvious example is global warming. And, you know, we know for a few years now, we've been told by the world's left-wing media that scientists are united in predicting that there will be a worldwide catastrophe as a result of global warming caused by supposedly man-made carbon dioxide emissions. Oceans will rise so high that they will drown many of the world's greatest coastal cities. We've been told this. Entire island countries would disappear. Vast areas of the world would dry up, and the countries would fight one another for the little remaining fresh water. Now, folks, the bottom line is none of this came about. None of these predictions have materialized. For example, in April, Der Spiegel reported that 6 years ago, the United Nations issued a dramatic warning that the world would have to cope with 50 million climate refugees by 2010. By now, those migration flow have it's failed to materialize, folks. That prediction. The UN has distanced itself from these forecasts, of course. On the contrary, populations are growing in those regions, and it's been identified as environmental danger zones. So, I mean, here we go there, folks. I mean, you know, we can talk about this stuff all day. You know, they want to make the Christians out to be kooks, but, I mean, these kooks have been at it for years and years on global warming. None of this stuff materializes. None of it. As a result of many false alarms, and because so many places have experienced record cold temperatures, global warming has now been renamed climate change, folks, because they can't call it warming anymore. I mean, this is the other thing. You know, the temperatures of the Earth would increase and increase and increase, and all the time, Earth is actually getting colder. The predictions aren't there. So, you know, there's a lot of predictions being made by these people, you know, and have been for years. I mean, years and years and years, and none of them have come true, folks. None of the dire warnings and predictions have come true. And so, as I said, it's certainly funny to hear them knock the Christians, although, you know, this guy didn't help us any. All right, folks, we're going to be right back after these messages here on the Talk Show America show, so don't go away.
Medicare Diabetic.
Hello, I'm a diabetic with insurance.
Medicare Diabetic is offering diabetics at no cost a multilingual talking pain-free test meter. Call, qualify, and receive as a bonus a blood pressure monitor absolutely free. If you have Medicare or insurance, Medicare Diabetic may send both your monitors and test supplies directly to your home at no cost. Insulin and syringes are available as well. Copay and deductibles may apply. Call 800-993-0617. That's 800-993-0617.
Attention, business owners and individuals who owe the IRS. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call Certified Tax now at 800-545-4460 and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals who specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishment, and collections. We won't waste a minute helping you with your tax problems. We'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. We've settled millions of dollars of tax issues for a fraction of the cost. Find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking on your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. We know the tax laws and we act fast. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-545-4460. Remember, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. That's guaranteed. Call Certified Tax at 800-545-4460. That's 800-545-4460. Again, 800-545-4460.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you. And your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
Ladies and and gentlemen, and welcome back to the Talk Show America Show. JR here with you. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We certainly appreciate it very much indeed here on the show, folks. I appreciate you coming back to listen. I'm trying to get shows out when I can. A lot of things going on here between the conservative radio station we now have, WTSAIR, conservative talk, folks, at www.wtsair.com. Check it out. All types of conservative shows up there, folks, for you to listen to. All the favorites that you listen to almost on a daily basis. Talk Show America, The Kyle Warren Show, The Captain's America Radio Show, folks, just to name a few. Just get a chance to get up there and check it out. We appreciate it very much. And don't forget, if you want to email me, jr@talkshowamerica.com, the letter J, the letter R, @talkshowamerica.com. And you can email me about the show, comments, suggestions, whatever you want, folks. We have no problem with receiving that email. We're happy to answer any of them that we get, and we do get quite a few, and we try to get to them all. Usually we do, but give me some time, too, because sometimes it takes time. Now, folks, let's move on a little bit here. I wanted to move on to some foreign policy flubs. Number one, before we go too far, I wanted to make sure I mention this foreign policy flub of Obama's. The actual audacity of that man to suggest that Israel go back to the pre-1967 borders was just unbelievable, folks, and uncalled for from the leader of the free world. Israel is our ally, and unfortunately for Israel, Obama is our president, and we can't change that now, folks, because he was elected not by many of us, not by most of us listening to the show, or for that matter, the host presenting the show. We didn't elect him, but he is our president, the president of the United States. He is our leader. Unfortunately for Israel, he is the wrong leader at this time. And these tumultuous times in the Middle East, Israel is more vulnerable than ever, folks. And the last thing Israel needed from this president was a weak showing of support. And that's basically what that was. Whether or not you want to realize it, suggesting that Israel go back to the pre-1967 borders is basically a weak showing, is basically going to give up all that has been that has been fought for and accomplished over the years to make sure that just doesn't happen, and that Israel can live in peace alongside of its neighbors. But for the President of the United States to make that suggestion bolstered Hamas, bolstered the Palestinians, bolstered all of the, Egypt and any other countries in the Middle East that have no love for Israel. Because now what they're seeing is a wavering of that support, by this president, this commander-in-chief of the U.S. Armed Forces. This was an ultimate slap in the face. Now, Netanyahu, although he did say it's not going to happen, and he did basically make sure it was known in no uncertain terms, he took this rather well, and he actually handled it rather well. This is a sign of a true leader, folks. He made clear that Israel was not going back to the pre-1967 borders, but he did it in a way that was diplomatic for the president, but also a strong and clear message to their enemies that this wasn't going to happen. The fear that exists right now, though, is that the Palestinians will gain an audience in the UN, and the UN will try to make this happen. We cannot allow it. It shouldn't be allowed. Israel can't allow it. Israel's very survival, folks, is going to be placed upon these borders staying where they are. There may be some concessions here and there, but the basic lines and border lines will stay where they are. It's just amazing to me that the president could speak and even suggest this, basically turning his back on Israel. Now, whether or not this is going to affect him in the elections because of the American Jews here at home, is that remains to be seen. I've seen polls that say it's not going to affect him. I've seen polls that say it's going to. It's hard right now. The polls are all over the map. So it's hard to say it's just exactly how this will, you know, this will affect him yet. We won't know, folks, until we get a better read on it. I mean, right now it looks as though that he won't be, you know, he won't be affected that much. But then again, you know, it's going to take time. But on the other hand, you know, even though it, you know, there are polls that show that it might affect him, there's still a lot of time until 2012. A lot of things could change. you know, folks, there's other foreign policy flubs that this man has made. I mean, let's face it, folks, Barack Obama, you know, was elected president, and basically his experience was a community organizer. You know, so he's had no experience in foreign policy, and it shows. If there's such a thing as an Obama doctrine, folks, it might be reacting slowly to a financial, to a foreign crisis, and in a conflict, pick the side that's hostile to the United States. I mean, it, and as we have seen with, you know, with Israel, it's a classic example. But here are top, here are the top 10 Obama foreign policy flubs. One, Libya. NATO's Obama-backed Libyan excursion into Libya is in its third month with no end in sight as Muammar Gaddafi and the ill-trained and ill-equipped rebel forces battle to a stalemate. Without the United States taking the dominant military lead, NATO's feeble effort is exposing a shocking weakness in the military alliance. And Obama still hasn't explained why Gaddafi's troops shooting into crowds warrants retribution, while Syrian President Bashar Assad can do the same thing with impunity. I mean, folks, there's no real leadership here and no clear goals in regards to either one of those areas. The second one, folks, Iran. In 2009, when the Tehran protesters looked to the United States for help, Obama offered little support as he held on the dream that his magical words, folks, could sway Iran's Islamist leaders. Oh, please. And by now he should know that it's not going to happen. His naive stance snubbed the masses of people in Iran hoping for democratic reform while ensuring that President Ahmadinejad would continue his march to make Iran a nuclear power. No doubt about it. There was nothing in the leadership there, folks, that would lead anyone to believe that we were going to do anything about the move for democracy in Iran, that we're going to help anybody. I mean, I don't think we should have went in there with troops and things. No, but I think we should have offered some type of support to those people. We offered none. And we just let the president of Iran know that basically we weren't going to get in the middle of this stuff. Number three, Egypt. First Vice President Joe Biden said longtime U.S. ally Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak is not a dictator. Then the president's administration calls him for him to step aside. By withdrawing support from Mubarak, President Obama sent shockwaves to the other U.S. allies in the Middle East, including oil-rich Saudi Arabia and Bahrain, and gave an opening for the Muslim Brotherhood to rise to power. And don't think that's not happening, folks. There's people say it's not happening. The Muslim Brotherhood has little to do with it. They, even if they're not in the forefront, folks, they are behind the scenes. There's no doubt about that. And Washington knows this. The president knows this. This is a door opening for the Muslim Brotherhood and worse, folks, Al Qaeda, to get their fingers in the pie over there in Egypt. No doubt about it. It's just amazing indeed that another flub by Obama, trying to do what they could to keep this from happening. But unfortunately, it happened, and there's nothing that Obama did about it or is going to do about it. And they flip flopped along the way about Mubarak. First, he's an ally. He's not a dictator. Then he is. Then it's they were all over the map. Number four, the dollar. Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke's policy of qualitative easing is eroding the dollar while encouraging inflation. International holders of U.S. dollars are not pleased to see the drop by any stretch of the imagination, folks, spurring talk of a different currency to dominate the world's financial system. Along with the Obama deficits, America's credit worthiness is in question. As you know, that our credit rating was dropped to AAA negative, which was the first time in decades that we received that type of rating from these people, the Standards and Poor. But the bottom line is that we have to try to get that bolstered back to full faith and credit in the U.S. Government to pay its bills and to be able to keep the economy going. All right, we're going to be right back, folks, after these messages here on the Talk Show America show. So don't go away, because we'll return in a moment.
We hadn't talked, wanted to touch, or felt close in years, but Marriage Fitness turned our marriage around. Thank you so much, Mort.
Counseling was just a weekly blame fest. It drained us emotionally and financially. Marriage Fitness is totally different. This program actually works.
Hello, I'm Mort Fertel, creator of Marriage Fitness, the revolutionary, clinically proven program that will save your marriage. This is not marriage counseling. You won't have to dig into your past or dredge up your problems. Instead, you'll use a step-by-step system of positive relationship habits that will transform your marriage.
My husband wanted out and wouldn't go for help. I started Marriage Fitness alone. Now he wants back in. We're doing the program together.
Subscribe to Mort's free Marriage Fitness email service today at marriage12.com. You'll also receive his free report, 7 Secrets for Fixing Your Marriage, plus 5 free marriage assessments. That's marriageandthenumber12.com. To turn your marriage around, visit marriage12.com.
Medcare Diabetic.
Hello, I'm a diabetic with insurance.
Medcare Diabetic is offering diabetics at no cost a multilingual talking, pain-free test meter. Call, qualify, and receive as a bonus a blood pressure monitor absolutely free. If you have Medicare or insurance, Medcare Diabetic may send both your monitors and test supplies directly to your home at no cost. Insulin and syringes are available as well. Copay and deductibles may apply. Call 800-993-0617. That's 800-993-0617.
Has your computer been slowing down? Are you having problems sending and receiving email? Is your printer acting up? Or is the internet taking so long to load that it seems like the worldwide wait? Are you waiting to fix your computer because of cost? We know times are tough. People just don't have the money to buy a new computer or fix the one they have. What would you do if your computer just stopped working? I'm Luke Ford, CEO of My Computer Works. We help people just like you every day. We provide a low-cost way to fix your computer. We do it directly over the internet. This saves us time and you money. With one easy call, we can help you get your computer working the way you want it to. Once you sign up for our service, our U.S.-based technicians will connect directly to your computer, with your permission, of course, and fix the problem for you. It's affordable, it's fast, it's safe. It's My Computer Works. Just call 1-800-616-8010. 1-800-616-8010. That's 1-800-616-8010.
Liberal enemy number one. J.R. Heard here.
On the radio.
Radio. Talk Show America. No political correctness here.
So here's to all the soldiers who fight for you and me. Because you wear that uniform, America is free. There is a flag flying so proud, the red, white, and blue. And I can live my life in peace, thanks to you. So here's to all the soldiers who fight for you and me. Because you wear that uniform, America is free. Because you keep us safe from harm, America is free.
listening to the Talk Show America Show.
Yes, you are, folks, and thank you, and welcome back to the Talk Show America Show. Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We certainly appreciate it very much indeed here, folks, and of course, we appreciate our brave men and women who fight for our freedoms every single day across the globe in the U.S. military. Folks, please remember them in your thoughts, and please remember them in your prayers, and please remember to go to americasupportyou.mil let them know that you care and that you're still remembering them and still realize they're out there fighting in this global war on terror, you know, during this time of tumultuous times in this country and across the globe for that matter. Sometimes it's easy to forget about our men and women who are still fighting for our freedoms, you know, in the global war on terror because of all the other things that are going on. So keep them in your thoughts and prayers, folks. AmericaSupportYou.mil doesn't cost you one dime to do it. Go up there and just send a letter to the troops, any soldier, all the soldiers, doesn't matter. You don't have to know a soldier's name. Just let them know that that you're thinking about them and that they're still in our thoughts and prayers and that we support them in their mission to rid the world of terrorists. And of course, if you want to send any care packages or anything, there are ways to do that there as well if you want to, but of course it costs nothing to send a memo to our great brave men and women in the military. All right, folks. Let's move on with the other flubs now. I talked about, I believe I left off at the dollar, okay, which we talked about. And we all know, folks, right now, you know, the U.S. isn't strong yet. Number five, folks, Israel. the president's speech seeking a return to Israel's 1967 borders undercut America's only reliable ally in the region. And there's no doubt about that, folks. No doubt about that at all. It's just amazing. Sorry, I had to hit the cough button there for a second. It's just amazing, folks, that was even said. But, you know, undercutting America's only reliable ally in the Middle East. His attempt to broker any kind of accord between Israel and the Palestinians is in disarray. No doubt about it, folks. His special envoy, George Mitchell, just resigned, and Israel is rightfully concerned with the president's hard line on Israel's Israeli borders and his fondness for the Arab world. And with the Arab Spring possibly sweeping Islamists into power, Israel will be further isolated in the region. No doubt about this. This is what I was saying, folks. I mean, you know, and this is scary, except that Netanyahu said no, and I'll tell you, you know, Bibi Netanyahu, folks, he's a true leader, and it's just, this isn't going to happen. But the disbelief is unbelievable. They had a protest over there that some of the Israeli people were upset that the U.S. is not supporting them. And you know, I agree 100% wholeheartedly. And this weakened Israel's position, folks. If this comes up, you know, in the UN, it did, because now the U.S. looks like they're crawfishing on their position with Israel and more or less siding with the Arab world in the Middle East. It's just crazy, and it's definitely a flub on Obama's part. Number five, folks, global organizations. By ceding power to the United Nations, International Monetary Fund, and other international organizations, the president is undermining our sovereignty, folks, America's sovereignty. There's no doubt about this either. The Libyan military action is a case in point, approved by the United Nations and not by Congress. Barack Obama went to the United Nations to approve this, folks, but didn't bother to go to Congress. We all know this. What does this tell you? That he has no regard for Congress as far as he's concerned. He thinks the UN is in control and doesn't have to talk to Congress after that. That's a scary thought in this country. That the President of the United States thinks he can circumvent Congress because he's gone to the UN and they've said, oh, it's okay. Everything's all set. We'll just use NATO, we'll go in there and we'll blast the bejesus out of Gaddafi and his forces. And, you know, the President doesn't have to go before Congress with a plan and get congressional approval. For this, possibly violating the War Powers Act of 1973. You know, and I get a lot of these people. I hear them every day. Well, George Bush went into Iraq, and George Bush, he went over to Afghanistan. Those were all congressionally approved, folks. Whether, you know, and I know all the left, the shrills, the Hillary and the rest of them, you know, all, you know, this is illegal, this is an illegal action, that, this shouldn't have. They all approved it, folks. when it was going well, they were all on board with it. They were sitting right there, sucking up all the credit along with the president. When it started going not so well, they started dropping off the bandwagon like flies. It's as simple as that. As simple as that. I mean, and this is a classic example. The liberal military action is a case in point, approved by the United Nations and not Congress. We go to he goes to the United Nations and gets their approval, doesn't go to his own Congress and present a plan and get the approval, which he probably would have gotten. And with the International Monetary Fund, folks, funneling billions of U.S. dollars, tax dollars, to bail out debt-ridden countries, which is another ridiculous thing that we're doing, one wonders if the idea of one world government isn't becoming a reality. And I know, we call a lot of these people nuts and conspiracy theorists, but you know what? There may be something to what they're saying, probably not to the extreme they're talking about, but there may be something to what they're saying. Because, we're funneling billions of our tax dollars, folks, into countries to bail them out of debt-ridden situations when we're debt-ridden ourselves. I mean, we've got to stop this, and it just keeps going on. Now, Obama's not the first, president to do this, but certainly in this situation that we're in right now, it's not a smart idea. I mean, funneling billions of our tax dollars to bail out debt-ridden countries when we sit here, with 14.3 trillion, I believe it was the last time I looked, deficit ourselves. We're a debt-ridden country. So why aren't we bailing ourselves out? If we can put all this money into bailing out debt-ridden countries, we should be able to put all this money into bailing ourselves out. And as I said, one starts to wonder if some of these New World Order conspiracy theorists might not have something. Like I said, not probably to the extreme they're talking about, but certainly along the lines of something of that nature. It leaves one to wonder if it might not be true. Number seven, folks, Brazil oil. It was bad enough Obama pulled the plug on oil drilling in our own Gulf of Mexico, folks. But after oil companies sent their drilling rigs to Brazil, the president said, we want to be one of your best customers and announced plans to lend billions of dollars to the state-owned oil companies to drill off the coast of Brazil. He won't let it happen in the Gulf of Mexico, but he's going down to Brazil and saying, hey, you know what? We'll lend you billions of dollars to drill oil, and we'll buy it from you. I talked about this on a few shows ago. It's amazing. Talk about a foreign policy blunder and a half. Mr. President, there are plenty of oil resources right here in this country, and if you allow them to drill, could create jobs and lessen dependence on foreign oil. Now, it's not going to happen overnight, folks. We know this. But I've said it before. We have to start somewhere. And if we don't start somewhere, we're going to be saying this again in 10 years. We should have done this. We should have been drilling when we had the chance. We should have been, drilling offshore. We should have been drilling the shale oil. I mean, when we start talking about these things, ANWR and things of this nature, if we're allowed to do this now, we can slowly but surely, lower our dependence on foreign oil. And it's not going to happen overnight, and it's not. We probably won't completely be free of foreign oil, but we'll be free enough to where if something starts up again, oil embargoes, things of that nature, we can basically say, hey, stuff it. We have plenty. And maybe we can put them in the situation we're in right now at some point in time if they're getting more oil from us. We can start telling them, hey, you know what? Maybe we're going to raise the price. Maybe we're going to only allow you so much. Maybe we're going to cut production so you only get so much oil. Folks, number eight, Pakistan. The supposed U.S. ally has consistently undermined our anti-terror efforts and its intelligence service, seemingly is supportive of anti-American jihadists. Pakistan either allowed safe harbor of Osama bin Laden or was totally incompetent, despite billions of dollars of our aid, folks. The mixed signals from the president's administration following the Osama bin Laden raid only further damaged the relationship with Pakistan. I mean, it's just unbelievable, folks. Why are we paying this country billions of dollars after we find Osama bin Laden is there and we take him out? I wouldn't give them any more aid after that. None. Now that we know that they were lying, folks. There's no way they didn't know where this man was, or at least had an idea. No one's going to tell me they didn't know. It's a bunch of BS. They can't be that stupid. These people are laughing on our faces, basically. Number nine, Russia. Obama's clumsy attempt to push the reset button with Russia has the U.S. making concessions on missile defense and nuclear arms without gaining anything in return. Ridiculous. Instead of moving closer to the U.S., Russia is aligning with China, Brazil, and India, and other developing nations on key issues. I mean, it just, that was another blunder and a half, folks. Basically, Obama is letting the Russians basically dictate what the missile policy is going to be. He's a weak leader, folks. There's no doubt about it. He's very weak on defense and weak on foreign policy. Very weak. And those are huge needs in this country today. Number 10, and this is his biggest problem as far as I'm concerned, apologizing. Obama's apology tour shortly after taking office sent a message that he didn't really think all that much about our country. Not only wasn't our country exceptional as far as he was concerned, but it was guilty of heinous offenses. Unbelievable, folks. As Memorial Day approaches here, folks, and we honor those who died for our country, we can be proud of the causes they served, not apologizing for them as President Obama does. It's just, it's unforgivable. If there's anything that I think that really, like I said, is the number one problem that this president has in regards to foreign policy, it's that, the apologizing tour. I mean, Obama might as well put out a press release each time he's going to go out. The Obama apologizing tour, coming to a country near you soon. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Every time we turn around, it's apologizing for our country, basically saying that we're guilty of heinous crimes that will never happen again as far as he's concerned under his administration. And then he goes in and starts bombing Libya and things of this nature, folks. So, I mean, you know, I don't know. It's difficult, folks, to deal with this administration. Very difficult indeed. And I don't know, where we're going to go. In the near future. But as long as this man is president, we will be considered weak, folks, in defense and weak on foreign policy. And he proves it every single day. He does not take a stand as the leader of the free world. He takes a stand as just another guy in a crowd of leaders on this planet. Another hand raising up on this planet for something, not leading the free world. And people expect, like it or not, countries and people of the world expect the United States to take the lead. They do, because they know that that's been the past. The United States has taken the lead in several things and made big differences in this world. We've had our shares of faults, too. I mean, everybody does. We're not perfect, and that's fine. By and large, folks, we're a good nation. We're a good people. We try to help people whenever we can. The peoples themselves in this country are very generous. One of the top donor nations when it comes to the citizens of the country donating, no doubt about it. And, of course, the government, we're right up there, too, with a lot of taxpayer money that's doled out. Whether we like it or not on some things. The American people are the most generous people on the planet. No doubt about it. We have done a lot, for the world and, for the good of the world. And the bottom line is that our leader has to portray that, has to portray that image, has to push forth that image. Perception is everything, folks, whether you want to believe it or not. The bottom line is the president doesn't look strong, and therefore I believe that he isn't strong, number one, but I mean I believe that's the perception, and that's a lot of what's happening in the world. And him opening his mouth and apologizing for things and not backing up Israel, on the Russian missile defense, basically letting them run the show, on what they want. It's basically, hey, tell us what you want and I'll sign off on it, kind of thing. There's no leadership here. There's none. This man shouldn't be leading. He certainly shouldn't be leading combat troops, in which he doesn't lead them, thank God, you know, per se. But he is the commander-in-chief, folks. He certainly makes decisions. All right, we'll be right back after these messages here on the Talk Show America Show. Don't go away.
Has your computer been slowing down? Are you having problems sending and receiving email? Is your printer acting up? Or is the internet taking so long to load that it seems like the worldwide wait? Are you waiting to fix your computer because of cost? We know times are tough. People just don't have the money to buy a new computer or fix the one they have. What would you do if your computer just stopped working? I'm Luke Ford, CEO of My Computer Works. We help people just like you every day. We provide a low-cost way to fix your computer. We do it directly over the internet. This saves us time and you money. With one easy call, we can help you get your computer working the way you want it to. Once you sign up for our service, our U.S.-based technicians will connect directly to your computer, with your permission, of course, and fix the problem for you. It's affordable, it's fast, it's safe, it's My Computer Works. Just call 1-800-616-8010, 1-800-616-8010. That's 1-800-616-8010.
Hey folks, JR here from Talk Show America. Print up free discount coupons that can be redeemed at your local store and check out some great talk shows at the same time at phoenixbroadcastingtalk.net.
All right, folks, and welcome back to the Talk Show America Show. All right, folks, you know, as we said, President Obama, certainly not the most charismatic leader as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you know, he's good at talking, folks, you know, if he has a teleprompter most times. You know, he's good at making, at getting that stuff done as far as talking goes, but he's not good at, folks, the dialogue that he needs to have in regards to dealing with other countries. You know, we just know that, there's really not a lot we're going to be able to do about it, but this is who they elected. We're going to have to wait till 2012 to hopefully get rid of them. I don't see it happening, folks, not right now anyway. Okay, folks. Oil subsidy and tax breaks nonsense. We wanted to talk about this a little bit before we leave for the show today. We'll talk about this again on another show, but I wanted to get to this a little bit here. Do you think repealing oil industry tax incentives and subsidies will increase federal revenues? Think again, folks. President Obama frequently says Americans need to end our $4 billion in annual taxpayer subsidies to oil companies. The latest Democratic bill would have repealed some $2 billion of what Senator Schumer and others call subsidies and tax, special tax breaks for big oil. It's baloney, folks. It's shameless baloney that will inflict further damage on our struggling economy. Subsidies are cash payments from government to the private sector. Money is taken from the 51% of Americans who still pay income taxes, folks, and transferred by legislators and bureaucrats to companies and activities that deserve or require these wealth transfers because the recipients perform an important service and or could not remain in business unless subsidies with other people's money or were involved. But petroleum industry does not receive subsidies to produce oil and natural gas, folks. It doesn't even get special tax breaks or outright tax credits. What are falsely described in these terms are actually tax deductions. Deductions, folks, for costs incurred by companies in the process of exploring, drilling, producing, or refining the oil and natural gas that energize this nation's economy. These tax deductions are equivalent or similar to deductions claimed by every U.S. business, large and small, for things like facilities depreciation, equipment, utilities, payroll, and research and development. They are intended to ensure that businesses, like individuals, recover their costs and get taxed only on their net incomes. For oil companies, these deductions include geological and geophysical costs for exploration to assess prospects prior to drilling, intangible drilling costs, equipment, labor, fuel, and supplies associated with drilling expensive wells, tertiary injections, water and chemicals injected into oil wells to keep them producing, domestic Manufactured deductions of up to 6% of income earned from extracting oil and gas. Farmers and manufacturers and other producers can deduct up to 9% of earned income, folks. And at the oil, the domestic manufacturers on the oil companies only deduct up to, can only deduct up to 6%. Percentage depletion allowance, allowing for gradual recovery of upfront investments in petroleum or iron, gold, limestone, or et cetera, despite a deposit that is gradually extracted and depleted. The allowance is not available to integrated companies that produce, refine, and market oil. You see what I'm saying, folks? This percentage depletion allowance isn't allowed to oil companies. So you know, a lot of this is bunk. A lot of this is standard procedure for most businesses. So when they try to tell you folks that the oil companies are getting subsidies and tax breaks, it's not necessarily true. Number one, they're not tax breaks, folks. They're tax cut. They're tax deductions that normal businesses would be able to deduct from their taxes. And oil, the big oil, is business, whether you like it or not, folks. I mean, I know they want to demonize them to no end, but big oil is business. It's as simple as that. We'll talk more about this on a future show, folks. That's all the time I have for today. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen. We appreciate it very much indeed. Have a great day. Stay safe.